This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One, looking forward to talking to Daryl. And Andy, we have a special guest joining us in the noon hour.
We're going to steal some secrets today. We're stealing secrets.
From?
Jim Rooney of the Rooney family from the Steelers. He's got a book out. I don't know if you know this or not, but Jim went to high school here in Northeast Ohio.
The Rooneys of the Pittsburgh Steelers sent their kid to Cleveland for high school?
Yes. Yes, they did.
We'll
explain that a little bit later, too. So, okay. I mean, there really is. And from what I've heard, he's got, you know, we talked about, he's got a new book out. And there's a lot in there about the connection between the Browns and the Steelers. The book is about his dad. And it's called A Different Way to Win, Dan Rooney's story from the Super Bowl to the Rooney Rule. But there's a lot about the Browns in there. So, I don't know, maybe we could just steal some ideas from them on, you know, what, or maybe the Browns could be listening and steal some ideas about how to get the, how to get a franchise turned around.
Because they had
to turn around that franchise when, I can't remember the first year they got it, but when the Steelers were early in their existence,
they were not good.
Andy,
they weren't good until they hired a Clevelander, Chuck Knoll. Yeah, hired Chuck Knoll as head coach, Benedictine grad.
See, it's all
former,
Cleveland.
Former Brown. And he turns it around and gets it going. And from that point on, it's been a stellar organization. And I think that's, I mean, it's real clear on the timeline that that's when it all started.
Oh, you asked him?
And they were really good.
The one reason.
No.
You want to ask him about that?
No.
Do you want to explain?
No. You've been hung up on that since I brought it up
never,
11 years ago.
I never realized what it was and that you just absolutely 100% shed the light on why the Steelers are good.
Not going there.
Why not? Tell everyone. Come on, Jeff.
When they traded Bill Nelson to the Browns, they got Dick Shiner from the Browns, and he wasn't good at quarterback, so they drafted Terry Bradshaw.
So if they never...
Done.
If the Steelers wouldn't have had Dick Shiner, they would have never drafted Terry Bradshaw.
And if he had been any good...
Oh, man.
What do you want to see from the Browns the last seven games? And I know that sounds a little open-ended here, but I think I'm going to go real specific with it in a number of areas. 216-474-0092. Your thoughts are coming up on this. The Browns are 2-8. The Steelers are 8-2. If anything, Andy, I think if you would have thrown out what team in the AFC North might be in for a really bad year and go 2-8. Man, you might have picked the Steelers. And instead they're sitting there at 8-2. You know, they didn't have a quarterback. They got rid of Kenny Pickett. They brought in Russell Wilson, who people thought was done. They bring in Justin Fields, who people thought couldn't play because he went to Chicago. He did a nice job. And then Tomlin makes the move with Russell Wilson. They look even better. They're 8-2, and the Browns are 2-8.
And took heat for it.
Oh, it took incredible heat. I think he made the right move. I was expecting him to, and he did. The Browns are 2-8. The most important thing I want to see in the final seven games is this.
OK. Okay.
How do they respond to being 2-8? How do they respond to that? Now, what do I mean by that? I mean this. I think we will all agree there were moments in the game against New Orleans last week where you thought, this is pretty good, but man, they just don't look like they're really sharp. And then late in the game, you could make a real strong argument that they quit playing. Now, I don't think they quit and just stopped playing and quit on Kevin Stefanski. But I thought, this doesn't look like what we've usually seen. The one thing I've always thought is, regardless of what you think about Kevin or anything else, I've always thought the team played really hard for him. Always. And that doubt crept into my mind watching the game in New Orleans, especially late. So I want to see how they respond, Andy. And you know I'm a big proponent of Kevin. I think he's a good coach. I hope he's here long term.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't respond well, and they play like they did in the fourth quarter against New Orleans repeatedly down the stretch, that's not good. It's not good for Kevin. It's not good for Andrew Berry. And I think it will lead to changes.
All right, so I'm watching to see where the fingers get pointed at the end of the season. Okay. Really, that's what's left. And I want to see... I mean, I always want to watch Myles Garrett play. I do. And I want to watch Nick Chubb play. The offensive line has been so beat up this year. It's just, you know, I hope for health for these guys down the road, and I want to see if they can stay healthy and that they can try to maintain some little bit of the stability that we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And I think because of Jameis Winston and a little bit of health, that they've looked a little bit better the last couple of weeks. I need to see this offense get over 20 points. You know, the unfortunate part was what would happen tonight is, let's see, they get to 21 and lose 22-21, right? They'll get over 20, so we can't talk about that. And then they end up, you know, losing. And I just don't want to see that happen. I know that there really aren't any advantages to this team winning right now, right? If the draft was today, I think we have the number two pick. So, I mean, when I'm watching to see what happens, I want to see how this all unfolds at the end of the year, and I want to see who ultimately takes responsibility for it. Or, yeah, ultimately takes... I wanted to say that there could be praise if something crazy happened, but this season went so sideways so fast, and it's painful to watch this because I think that we all thought that the records of these two teams coming into here tonight, Jeff, is like you said, we thought they'd be reversed by this game.
If anything, I mean, I never thought that either one of those teams would be 8-2, and I never thought that either one would be 2-8. And here you are with one of them at 8-2 and one at 2-8. What do you want to see over the final seven games, folks? Andy mentioned a specific about Nick Chubb. I've got some offensive thoughts coming up. Sean's in Houston, Texas. Sean.
Hey, Sean.
There's no point in winning right now. And I don't want to be...
Well, I can't... But I can't tell a player there's no point in winning. That's the hard part. Or a coach.
Well, obviously, like, I'm just looking at it from a fan perspective. Right. From being a fan. And if you're... And if you're... Like, you don't ever want anybody to go out there and play soft and not play well.
So you get hurt.
Going it up from my standpoint is, look, like... If you're a championship caliber team, which we thought we were, our entire offseason was spent on filling gaps and holles with C+, B- players and guys that used to be great players that are on the wrong side of 30. And so for me, blowing it up this year or next year, whatever it is saying, look, we got young guys, play them in. I don't care about a 32-year-old D tackle. I don't care about Hicks. I don't care about people that aren't going to be here 3 years from now. We have fourth rounders, third rounders, fifth rounders, sixth rounders. Put them in, play them more. I don't think it's losing. I just think it's, what do we have? What is it? Like, you look at Tillman, right? If we were winning, he wouldn't be doing what he is right now. We wouldn't have traded Cooper if we were, like, 8 wins right now. So at the end of the day, I don't want to blow it up, but we're not doing anything. Let's see what we have so we know what we need to draft and what we need to put investments in the next year or two, because I don't want to go out there and see these dudes that – aren't going to be here that are one-year deals because we thought we were going to be a championship. And we don't have anybody to trade. Nobody's going to trade Njoku. Njoku has 2 years left, his entire shtick.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is on athleticism because he drops the ball 6 to 8 times a year. So just, I just want to know what we have, so what we need to do to be good and what we need to invest in. And then Denzel Ward, I love the guy. I mean, is he really going to be on the field 8 to 10 times a year in the next 2 years? Each year? I mean, just, I love him. He's one of my favorite players. Trade him. Keep Garrett. Keep Chubb on a low deal just to be here because he's Chubb culturally. But, and let's get a out loud veteran that's a freaking leader, because Garrett is a leader on the field. Chubb's a leader on the field, but we don't have anybody that goes out there in the huddle that, from what I'm hearing, what I've heard from you guys and people that come on, who's the guy that, if we're down, the coach can't do it every time? Who's the on-the-field guy that goes and smacks somebody and says, let's get your stuff together? We don't have that, from what I've heard.
Sean, let me ask you one thought. And you said winning doesn't do you any good. If you don't win, if you're the coach, you're probably not here. Don't you think? To me, that's why you win. The coach needs to show, and I think you need to keep the coach. Unless he's been given assurances from, you know, management, ownership, that you're here, so play the young guys and let's see it. They're going to play to win.
I don't think you can fire him after, and I'm not happy right now. I don't think anybody that even has a little bit of orange pride in them is going to, you know, like, be happy, but really fire a guy after going through 3 quarterbacks this year and just going and trading certain people. And just, in my mind, it's, hey, just get the trash out, start all over, and see if he can come in and re-energize it next year. And you'll know within the first 5 games next year if you made a mistake. But
all right, Sean, thank you very much. Good thoughts. Eric is in Richfield. Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey. Yeah, I started thinking about it. What if Stefanski was forced to get rid of AVP and Stump and forced to give up the play calling? Maybe he quit. I haven't heard anybody saying that.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
Eric, that didn't happen. I can guarantee you. I've never heard of a head coach quitting and just phoning it in. Why? They probably want to be employed.
Yeah, I mean, they want to be with another team.
And it's a terrible look, even if you want to move on to another team, that's a terrible look. He's got a contract extension. He's not going anywhere. I've never heard of that, and I wouldn't expect that to happen. What do you want to see, folks? What do you want to see? Again, I said, I want to see just how they respond to being 2-8. And if they respond like they did against New Orleans, that's a bad look for everybody in the organization. I have some thoughts about what I want to see on offense. You might be surprised, because might be surprised at these, and they're next on Baskin and Phelps. So let's not even think about that. But you're playing 7 more football games. You're a football team that you thought you were close, and you thought your roster was pretty good. So what do you want to see in these next 7 games? I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092 is the number to join us. You mentioned Nick Chubb, and I've thought about the offense a lot. There are only 2 things I want to see on the offense, and this is no disrespect to anybody else. I know what the offensive line is. Okay, I know the guys that who are there up front when they're healthy are good, and I know they're veterans. So, you know, if I'm Andrew Berry and I'm thinking I'm going to be here next year and calling these shots, I know these guys are good. I know they're veterans. I know I need to replace some. I know I need to add to them. You know, if I could bring in young guys to develop, well, my guys maybe play another year. That's what I'm going to try and do. So I don't really need to see the offensive line. What I needed to see was DeJuan Jones, and he's not there anymore.
True.
So I don't think there's anything to see on the offensive line. I think you know what you got. I don't think you need to see anything at running back because they've chosen not to establish Pierre Strong or Deontay Foreman or even Jerome Ford. And now that Nick Chubb is back, you're going to give the ball to Nick and maybe see, you know, what he can do coming off his serious knee injury. I think they know what they need at running back, Andy. That's probably a young, dynamic running back who's not on this roster right now because they've chosen not to play the guys who are here. You know, you didn't commit to anybody. When Nick was out, you didn't commit to anybody. You didn't try to establish the running game with, like, hey, let's make this Deontay Foreman's backfield. Let's make it Jerome Ford's. Let's see what Pierre Strong can do. You didn't do that. We know David Njoku's good. I think you know what you have at tight end. I have two things I want to see on offense and two things only.
Okay, what's that?
Again, it's Jameis, who I mentioned yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see, is this guy a possibility for next year, either as a starter or definitely as the backup? I think definitely as the backup, he might play his way out of that pay scale. And I want to see if he's a viable starter next year while I bring in a young guy and try to develop him as my future starter, or think that Jameis is the guy long term. Okay, so I want to see Jameis. And then I want to see Cedric Tillman. And I want to see if Cedric can build on what he's done here over a really nice four-game stretch since Amari Cooper has been gone. Jerry Jeudy stepped up in the last game and looked like the guy, you know, if there's a guy to have. What I would love to have is what the Bengals have. I got Jamar Chase and I have T. Higgins. I got two big-time guys. I'd love to see if Tillman can become a big-time guy. And I think he might be able to. And I want to... That is what I need to see. Because Judy's here. You know, Jeudy signed a contract. They traded for him. He's going to be here. And he looks, you know, he looks pretty solid. I'm assuming he's going to be here. I want to see if Tillman can build on this. So that's all I want to see on offense. Jameis, Tillman. Everything else I kind of have a pretty good feel for. John is in the great city of Akron. Hello, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm doing pretty good. Regarding this upcoming game, with as far as Nick Chubb goes, I figure if he can do 20, 25 carries and about 100-plus yards, touchdown or two, Browns have a really good chance of winning the game, and that'll show us a lot about Nick Chubb for next year. As far as getting rid of the coach, I have to go back to when Baker was a rookie, and they had Williams and Kitchens in there, and they went 5-3. Instead of bringing them back, they got rid of them, and then they've been screwing up left and right since then. To be honest, I didn't think they expected those guys to go 5-3 with them. And they blew it. They don't know a good thing when they have it, is what I'm saying. Hello?
Yeah, no, we're listening to you.
Okay. It was just so quiet. I don't think they know a good thing when they have it, and then when they do find something good, they don't know what to do with it, or they can't keep up by building on it. So right now, they're just going to have to stop the players from giving up in the middle of the game. Those two running touchdowns on Sunday, that was the defense giving up. That wasn't coaching. Unless inspiring the players not to give up would be one of the fallacies. But you shouldn't have to do that.
All right, John, let me just ask you this. At the end of the season, you want to see who's still employed. You want to see Stefanski here. What about Barry?
No.
No on Barry. And then how about Paul DePodesta? We'll put him in the mix, too. No?
Well,
all right.
It depends on who they get to replace Barry and how they handle this offseason as far as the draft. They're going to have one or two, most likely. And if they pick well, they can build on it. Stefanski does good when he has the players around him, just like any other coach.
Agree. I think the hard part about understanding if the draft is good or not is you got to wait it out for a year or two. You're not going to know. I mean, yeah, you might get an instant success guy, one maybe out of seven. I think, and we have more than seven. We have 9 picks this year, somewhere around that.
Rookies step in all the time and do it, Andy. Just not here very often. John's in Stowe, home of the Bulldogs. John.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. Good. How are you?
Game day. It's game day, baby.
Feels weird. It's game day, yeah.
It's game day. That's right. And I got something to say about game day.
Great.
So I'm a Steelers fan, born and raised.
Let's do it. And from Stowe or born and raised in Pittsburgh?
Not in Pittsburgh. Family's from the Pittsburgh area. We moved here when I was young.
Like really young?
Yeah, like two.
All right, I'll give you. You know what?
You're allowed.
Yeah, I'm okay with you, John.
You were raised by Steeler fans.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't know any better.
Yeah, that's fine. We're good with that.
I survived.
We respect that.
But, no, look, once or twice a year, and I don't think Tomlin's a bad coach, but once or twice a year, we just have a game where we just come in, we look completely flat, and we get out-coached, out-played, out-physical, whatever you want to call it. And this is going to be the game this year. I just know it. I just know it. Mike Tomlin is 0-7 in divisional Thursday night games.
That's a great stat I was not aware of.
Yeah.
John, this phone call has made you a friend of the show.
I'm writing that down. That's
you clearly, no matter how old you were when you moved here, you have become really just ingrained with Northeast Ohio. You get the feel. You understand it, that even though the team you root for is 8-2, you can find the negative input. That's awesome.
I understand pessimism, my friend. But, no, look, if you want to make some money tonight, take Steelers money line and over on Russell Wilson's interceptions. I'm serious.
All right, you're giving Nick Costos a run for his money, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and he's coming up.
Yep. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. You can call anytime.
Thanks, guys.
All right. John, thank you very much.
Any self-deprecating Steeler fan is more than welcome to call.
That was really good.
You're a part of the family now,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's in, isn't he?
He's like the cousin that comes to Thanksgiving. As long as he's not wearing his Steelers gear, you're okay.
Yeah,
you're like,
that's really kind of
hey,
pretty
he's,
true.
He's a Steelers fan. And you're like, oh, well, just
what do you
want to
see over these last seven games on the defensive side of the ball? I want to see Martin Emerson kind of get it back together a little bit. That's one thing I think. And then there's this. I really want to see if somebody can become kind of impactful at the other defensive end spot across from Miles. You know, you traded Za'Darius Smith. I would think Obo Okoronkwo is going to continue to get more playing time. I like Obo. You like Obo. He's not the guy I'm talking about. I'm wondering what Isaiah McGuire has in him. I'm wondering what Sam Kamara might be able to do. And
is this enough to make you turn on? I mean, if you weren't.
Well, no, but we're.
None of this stuff makes me want.
We're diehard Browns followers.
Yeah, I know. But I just like none of this is like.
You're gonna watch because it's your team,
dude. On the game. I know, but
it's your team. You're gonna watch.
I can't lock into some of that stuff.
Listen to it right here on the home of the Browns, 92.3 The Fan.
Good point. I can't lock. And the other point, you know, we had a caller two callers ago that says, "Oh, trade Denzel Ward." Why would you trade someone that's good? Like, it's not easy to find a player that's good. You know, he's the only player in the NFL that's had a defensive the breakup of a play of a pass in every game. That was the stat from last week, and then he came up with a big one last week, too.
That's not as good as John's from Stowe's stat about Tomlin.
Oh, I like that stat.
But it's a good stat.
Way more.
Still a good stat.
Especially on a short week. Divisional game, Thursday night.
Isaiah McGuire was a fourth-round pick.
Would you rather bus over or fly over? I'm just curious if you're a
fly. Bus. Bus.
Really?
Yeah, you barely get up in the air, and you got to come back down again.
I tell you.
The most difficult part of flying is takeoff and landing. Why do I have to do each within a half an hour of them, of each other?
But it's a charter flight.
Yeah,
you're here in like 10 minutes.
Get on the bus. Let's go.
What? But if it takes 2 hours, I mean, if you're a player and you can cut the travel time to like 15
get the drive
minutes.
Through Warren and Youngstown, come on, man. That's the way to go.
I got
to
be honest. I'd be all about the charter flight if I were the Steelers today. I'd be like, boop, you're here.
Get on the bus, Gus.
But like when we were when I was traveling with the Indians, like it was a 10-minute flight to Detroit, and it was awesome. You just like showed up, got on a plane, you're there.
Yeah, but you got to show up and then you sit there for a half an hour.
No, you don't.
And you fly.
On a charter flight? No, you don't.
No flight is just.
The longest part of it.
You still sit there because you had to show up early because they're not going to wait for Andy Baskin.
You know what? It was worth sitting there for 45 minutes knowing that you were going to get to Detroit in 10. And Pittsburgh's got to be like a 6-minute flight, 7-minute flight, right? It's before you're up, you're down.
Before you're up, you're down. Let me write that down.
That's good Baskinism. That is
before
wisdom.
Before you're up, you're down.
You should take that with you for the rest of your
life.
Nice
job, Ricky Bobby.
You got it.
Nick Costos
shake and bake,
is our Odyssey Sports betting insider. He's coming up next. What does he think about tonight's game? Oh, I can't wait to find out on Baskin and Phelps.